Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, May 17th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
So, you're not well educated, you have almost no experience, and you can't write.
But you should see me in a swimsuit. Holy cow. We're back today to delve further into the erotic mind of the very talented photographer, Justin Tai. This is part two of our chat, and we pick up precisely where we left off at this time last week. If you somehow missed last week's show, don't worry. You can find it and all my podcasts in my podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the site's search function in the sidebar, type in podcast number 204, and presto! But don't forget the pound sign when you do your search.
Just what do you want from me anyway? Permission to be fake? Stop whining.
I didn't realize I was whining. And why are you being so mean? Justin invites you to visit him on his website, cleverly named JustinTai.com, or you can find him on Facebook, facebook.com/JustinSFO. Today's program is brought to you by So Hard for Men. So Hard is what we in the business lovingly call a boner pill. But So Hard for Men is not just any old Viagra knockoff. No siree, it's a pure, all-natural herbal formula that improves sexual health, combats erectile dysfunction, and increases the strength of your erection when aroused. Listen, I've tried So Hard for Men, so I can testify to its effectiveness. Look for my review of So Hard for Men on my product review site, DrDicksSexToyReviews.com. Use the site search function, type in the keyword herbal, and you can read my comments and evaluation.
I am beginning to repel people. I'm trying to seduce.
You don't say. Well, the makers of So Hard for Men are so confident that their product works that they offer a 100% money-back guarantee. They also proudly offer all their first-time customers a free, no-obligation trial pack. This is an amazing opportunity to test this product on your own. Get your wood the natural way. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Justin Tai, thank you again for coming back to DrDicksSexAdvice.com and opening your erotic mind. I can't talk this morning. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyhow, so we've been enjoying your website, and we're eager to get back to hearing what you have to say about your work. And I'd like to pick up exactly where we left off last week. You were talking, as we concluded last week, that your history as a photographer and when you began to shoot nudes. And my next question is, where do you generally find your models, or do they find you?
Excellent question. By the way, I'm glad to be back. So.
Me too.
Where do I find my model? Initially, it was, like I mentioned last week, I found my model on chat room because nobody knew me back then. So that's I actually have to actively go out there and look for people and, you know, pretty much persuade them to post for me.
Right.
Nowadays, it is a little bit easier. However, I would... It is much easier for me to find model who live in Minneapolis than here in the Bay Area.
You're kidding, really? That's awesome.
Yes, because, I mean, I lived in Minneapolis for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm generally well-known in the Twin City area, and I have done a number of exhibitions in the Twin City. Mm. So for me to find model in Minneapolis or St. Paul, it is so much easier. I mean, they know me, they trust me, they're comfortable posing me because I know they know what I do.
Right. Now, and you do have to have somewhat of a reputation, or people will just assume that you're some skeezy kind of guy. That
right, because,
to,
you know, nowadays,
exactly.
Nowadays, anybody could pick up a camera
yeah,
and
exactly.
call themselves photographer and then, you know, ask him to post nude photos.
Yeah, right.
So that's the problem that I'm facing in the San Francisco Bay Area, because I'm relatively unknown in this area.
Right.
And for me, it's just hard to find people that...
Yeah.
You know, that would willing to pose for me.
Right.
So
well, hopefully this podcast will help things.
Well, yes, hopefully so. So hey, anybody out there who's want to pose for me, please contact me. I would love to shoot you. So now it's pretty much a combination of chat room, even though I rarely go on chat room anymore because I don't have the time to do it.
Uh-huh.
But now I actually got referral from other model I work with, or people would contact me directly from my website.
Right.
So pretty much are the only revenue that I find model.
Right. So you mentioned this last week, and I want to pursue this. You travel all over the world for your passion. Are there particular favorite spots on the globe where you are particularly inspired?
Yes, there is a part of the world that I'm very much fascinating for two reasons. Being Asian,
yes.
I would like to have a little bit more Asian model in my portfolio.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sad to say that my portfolio would consist of about 80 to 90% of Caucasian models.
Uh-huh.
So
we talked about this briefly last week, and I want to explore it more too, and that is that there are cultural differences about sexuality and modesty and all this kind of stuff. And I find that Asian people have a lot of concern about modesty, where
right.
Americans and not so much.
Right, and that is, I'm not sure if that's the problem, but that's the issue that I'm facing.
For me,
going to Asia and trying to find model who's comfortable enough to pose nude for me is you could say it is a challenge in a
yes.
way, but for me it's intriguing
yes.
because Asia is just so fascinating. It's very, very different from, the way of life in here in the U.S.
Right.
And finding somebody who's comfortable enough to pose for me is just fantastic in Asia. And like I pointed out, I do want some Asian model in my portfolio. And another reason why I love Asia so much is the cost of traveling there is just so much cheaper. So it's not only for the art aspect of
yes.
it, but for my budget, because I could actually afford to go to Asia and stay a little bit longer
right.
to find people to pose for me.
Right. So you work with both women and men, right?
Yes, I do.
And since you shoot all over the world, I suspect that approaching a model in a different culture can be, dicey. And you have to approach them with cultural sensitivities that may not necessarily be at play when you approach an American. Yes?
Yes, very much so, because when I go to Asia, I just can't ask a person to post nude for me, because
right.
that is a big no-no, because they would pretty much flatly reject you.
Yes.
Because that's something that they just don't want to deal with
right.
at the get-go. So
yeah.
a lot of times, you would have to, trying to get to know somebody, and then talk to them, and then try to make them comfortable enough
yes.
with you where they would put down their guard and then, pose for you.
Right.
And a lot of times, I mean, I don't even have to ask them to post nude for me. I mean, to do implied nudity, I mean, I will jump at that chance.
Yes.
So,
But can you turn them on to your work, like on a website and stuff like that, on your website, and say, this is the kind of stuff that I do, and, I'd like to do that with you as well?
Yes, but they were saying, well, you know, they don't want their family to see it. So they pretty much will say, no, I would love to work with you, yes, but there won't be any
news.
Right,
right.
And that's a challenge that I am facing.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, as we talked about last week, digital stuff lasts forever, and, you know, sometimes those things can come back and haunt you. And I mean, even something artistic, you know, can in our culture carries some weight, you know. And some people say, well, you know, he was a nude model, but I say, you know, he's an artistic nude model. Doesn't make any difference. He didn't have any clothes on. That's really unfortunate, but that's the way our culture is.
Right. And I mean, like a few weeks ago, actually, I have a chance to shoot this one model from India.
Wow.
And for me, I mean, he's comfortable with nudity. He's fine with it. But, I mean, he pretty much just tell me up front that, you know, in his culture, it is just not acceptable.
Yes.
And, I mean, I just don't want to ruin his reputation. He actually is an actor in India.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I do have to take that into consideration because, I mean, I'm not here to ruin any career,
right. And
I would have to take that into consideration. So that's something that I have to deal with when I work with Asian model. It's just completely different, and
right. That
you know, you have to be considerate, I guess.
Yes. You know, certainly in a different sort of way than with other cultures, that's for sure. So just to pursue this line of questioning a bit, and we touched on it last week as well, there is often a distinction made between erotic art and pornography, and both of these things depict the body, sensuality, sexuality, even lovemaking, but there is a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression. And there's clearly a line for you. Can you talk a little bit more what the line is that is between erotica and pornography?
For me, the key here is the intention.
I see. Good, good, good.
If I do a photo shoot that would have two person making out, I mean, they pretty much making out. It's just the angle or the intention
right. That
would distinguish what is erotica and what is pornography.
Mm-hmm. Because, and one can do that with like lighting as well as, you know, other kinds of, you know, photographic, I don't want to say tricks, but photographic things that you can draw out the sensuality and play down the other, right?
Right. And like I said, if the intention is, it could be, you know, I could do something where it doesn't have to show everything.
Right.
And I actually let the mind work in that area where you actually could imagine what happened. But, you know, in reality, you know, it could be the two model actually doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's just the way that I capture that moment that would let the mind do more work than in a pornography case where everything is up front to your face and, you know, you don't have to be creative or you don't have to be
thoughtful or anything
about it because it's right there in front of your face.
Yes. So have you ever, here's a curious question. Have you ever, you know, been on a shoot and, you know, just shot hundreds of images and then gone back to your studio to look at your work and you've discovered something that is really like more pornographic end of the spectrum as opposed to the erotic? Are you surprised when that kind of thing happens, if it happens?
Yes, it happened. You know, I have to admit, it happened, but am I surprised by it? No, not really, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you were there, and the two model actually are always on the move, and you just there to try to capture that one particular moment where it bring out the intensity of that, you know, that sensual sex. And, you know, once in a while, you would accidentally capture something that might, you know, that might not be erotica, but I mean, to me, that is acceptable.
Yes.
I expect to get some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Will I use it? Probably not.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it's there, and
yes.
You know,
it's like a byproduct. Yes.
Well, it is, and you know, like everything else, you know, I take 100 photo, I might use 5 or 10 photo,
right,
and that
right.
is. It's just the way it is, and
right.
you know, it might accidentally be a little bit on pornography side, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, right. So, I have on several occasions in my questioning to you used the word passion. I have a sense that you know this is a passion for you. This is not just an avocation or. You know, just a recreation. It's a passion for you. Is that true?
You are absolutely correct. I have a full-time job. And I actually do not make any money doing photography.
Right.
I actually lose money and
right.
lose a lot of time doing
I know.
It.
I know.
But I love doing it
yeah.
because for me, it is fantastic to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is a wonderful outlet, is it not?
It is great, and the amount of wonderful people that you have a chance to meet is just rewarding.
Yes.
So I mean, if you ask me, well, can I make money doing photography? Yes, if I do pornography, because
yes.
it probably would be so much easier, and it I probably would make so much more money, but that's something I don't want to do
right.
because for me it's not about it. It's not about money. It's about being creative. It's about you know trying to bring out the sensuality and capture
right.
it.
Right.
And that's why I love doing it.
Yeah.
Even though I spend hours and hours on this without making a lot of money. Actually,
right.
no money whatsoever.
I know. I did the same thing with the video, the porn company that I have, Daddy O Productions. I poured my heart and soul into it and made some very interesting things that I liked very much, and it was very fulfilling, and it was very interesting in a creative sort of way, but money certainly wasn't the object.
No, because if your bottom line is money, then I guess we are in the wrong profession.
And besides, if money is the object, then you know the art goes out the window, basically.
Exactly. And for me, that's the key, which is I want to have my creative control.
Right, exactly.
And that's why I just want to do the way I want to do it. I don't want to listen to somebody else to tell me what to do because I would lose that control and that would drive me insane and I would not do it.
Yeah. So I have to ask this question too because, you know, just reflecting on my experience with my production company, Daddy O Productions, being present, you know, either for a porn shoot or an artistic photography shoot, it's a very intimate experience. I mean, here are people very vulnerable. They're nude. They're, you know, and they're allowing themselves to be captured in a way that one would hope is going to be very flattering, but, you know, it's a stretch. It's not a guarantee. It's a very intimate experience for you too, yes?
Oh, totally. I mean, the least I could do is I would talk to those models, making sure they are at ease, and
right.
assure them that they just need to be themselves, because if they're being themselves in front of the camera, they would be able to have great photo because they being themselves,
yeah.
and I would be able to capture that.
Do you look to work with a particular body type?
No, absolutely not. For me, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's not
true.
For me to judge.
Yes.
So I do work with all type of body.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not sure if the fortunate or the unfortunate thing is I tend to get younger white models for some strange reason. It could be because they're so much more comfortable with their sexuality or their body, so that they would, you know, they would come to me. So and it's not like you go out there and look for them. That's not true. I mean, I do want to work with a variety of age, variety of body.
Right.
And I don't mind doing it because for me, like I said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And everybody has certain thing that is totally beautiful and that should be captured.
Yeah. You said that, you referred to that last week too, and I think that's absolutely amazing. So are there topics or situations that you gravitate toward or topics or situations that you avoid?
Yes.
Can you tell us about them?
I guess topic that I would like to focus on at this particular moment in my career is, like I mentioned earlier, I love to focus on Asian beauty.
Yes.
Because the problem I have is in the mainstream media, especially in the gay segment of it, being Asian, you have to be exotic to be beautiful. And for me, that's not the case.
I agree.
For me, I want to fight that stereotype by focus on Asian beauty. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be exotic to be beautiful for being Asian. And that's something that I'm trying to work on.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to work on is nude and nature. I mean, for me, I want to blend those two things in and, you know, bring the beautiful of nature and the human body and try to capture that.
Yes.
And right now for me, living in the Bay Area, to find some place where it is somewhat remote to do nude photo is nearly impossible. So
I know.
I have to travel someplace
to
do it. But that's something that I try to work on. What topic that I try to avoid? Politics, but not to say that I avoid it, because a few years back when the whole Iraq war started, I actually did a piece on Make Love Not War.
No kidding, how cool.
And that's fascinating, because I guess not that I'm trying to avoid it, but, you know, I do want to bring some social issue into my photography also.
Right.
So, but politics is something that I try to avoid, but once in a while I'm pretty much drawn into it, and I do it anyway.
Well, it's hard to avoid, it seems to me.
Right, and it's like, you know, I don't give a damn what other people think about me. So, you know, I just did it, so.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Last week you mentioned that you were working on a series about sexual fantasies. Here's a question that just popped into my head, and that is, you know, a lot of people's sexual fantasies are somewhat hard, much more hardcore than their own sexual activity. And is it possible for you to maybe do like a BDSM sort of sexual fantasy, but keeping it erotic and not pornographic?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And like I think I mentioned that last week too. I mean, yes, sexual fantasies tend to be, you know, a little bit way out there. You know, it's not the vanilla sex anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fetish is about, you know, kinky stuff. It's about, you know, some really bizarre thing. However, like I mentioned last week, it's the ability to capture the intensity of that fantasy than the act itself. There's several means to do it. You could actually use, you know, the lighting. You could actually just capture, in a sense, the shadow or you know, a photo of two people going at it, but without showing
right.
a lot.
Yes.
So you actually give the mind the ability to wonder
yes.
Exactly what's going
yes.
on. And the biggest thing for me is lighting, or trying to, you know, use lighting to hide a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
or use the lighting to have the mind wander.
Right.
An example that I have is I did a bondage shoot at this dungeon in Minneapolis.
They have dungeons in Minneapolis?
And I have to say kudos to my really good friend who actually loved he actually built that dungeon.
Oh, no kidding.
And he actually granted me access to it 24/7. So anytime I need a place to do photo shoot, you know, with a little bit on a S&M,
right.
I could use it.
Oh, how grand.
So, Dan, thank you very much. no, but the point I'm trying to make is, you know, you could actually do it in a sense where you use light and you let the mind wander.
Right, 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 right. What do you look for in the work of other erotic artists, photographers, painters, literary artists?
I look for a certain concept. I look for a certain idea. I look
mm-hmm.
for trend. Because, you know, once in a while, I got stuck. It's like I do think so much that it's like, you know, I need creative ideas.
Right, right.
And not only with different artists, but sometimes different model
mm-hmm.
would come up with certain concept that I've never done before.
Right.
Like, I think last year, this one model from Los Angeles, he actually have a swimming pool at his house,
mm-hmm.
and he, you know, mentioned that we should do a underwater photo shoot.
Cool.
And for me, it's just like, wow, you know, I've never done anything underwater, and it would be totally fascinating
mm-hmm.
to capture it underwater. So I ended up went out and bought a underwater camera case for my camera.
Uh-huh, right. How
flew
cool.
down there and did a photo shoot underwater. And being the first time doing it underwater, you know, I've learned so much from it. And
yes.
the result was it's just so different.
I'll bet. It's
fascinating.
Interesting. So who are your inspirations and who are your sexual heroes, if you have any?
My inspiration, I would say I am very much admire Robert Mapplethorpe.
Uh-huh. Robert Mapplethorpe.
And for me, right, what he did was in the 70s, he pretty much bring sexuality into the mainstream photography.
Yes.
And if you have a chance to look up his work, it is fantastic.
Yes.
And it is amazing. And he has the gut to bring full frontal nudity into the mainstream work. And he did such a great job. And I mean, for me, I just admire him so much.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the other question about sexual hero, I would say I am truly, truly admire the people who work in nonprofit organizations, especially
yes.
about AIDS awareness,
oh, good
because
for you.
They make so little money and the work that they do impacts so many people that really need help.
Right. It's really a selfless act on their part. It's amazing.
It
I agree
is
with you.
Because if you know, I volunteer, and I did two projects with two nonprofit organizations. One is Minnesota Aid Project. The other one is Project Aliveness Project, which is a organization that support people who are living with HIV in Minneapolis mm-hmm. and the Twin City area. Mm-hmm. And it just amazed me. It's like the amount of time and effort that they put in to it.
Yes.
And they just don't make any money at all. And it's like, you know, I just can't believe that they actually is willing to do it because I don't think I can.
That is so true. Thank you for that. Yeah, absolutely. So what does the future hold for you in your work?
That is an excellent question. unfortunately or fortunately, my full-time job is I work a lot more hour now a day than before. I actually put in about 40 to 60 hours a
Yikes.
Day. So on top of doing photography, so I would say I'm actually slowing down a little bit. I am still actively working on the two projects that I have been working on for the last 2 years, which is about Asian male beauty.
Yes.
And the other project that I continue to work on is the sexual fantasy that I talked to you about last week and this week. And one area that I'm trying to do is, you know, there got to be some bisexual fantasy out there.
Oh, and you would think so.
And there got to be some straight guy who would willing to do it, but I have not been able to find one yet. So,
well, maybe someone will come through this podcast.
Exactly. So any straight couple out there, I don't care if it is two girl and a guy or two guy and a girl, as long as you're willing to do it, please contact me. Let's make it happen. It just sounds so simple, but I couldn't find anybody.
So before we conclude, could you give us your website address again and walk us around?
The website is www.justinthai.com, and Thai spelled T-H-A-I, just like Thailand. Again, justinthai.com. And when you go on to my website, you would see a little bit about my portfolio. You would get some information about my upcoming exhibition. You find a little bit information about if you want to model for me, what you need to send in. And you also find my contact information, my phone number, my website, my email address, and my Yahoo chat. If you decided to go online and chat with me, I actually on Yahoo or Facebook a lot, so there's a variety of means to get a hold of me. And shoot me an email, chat with me. I'm friendly enough where I promise I will respond back to you.
Great,
I'm not
ignoring
you by any means.
Great, good. So between now and when we speak again, we will be seeing each other in cyberspace. It's been so wonderful chatting with you, Justin. What an insightful, interesting kind of guy you are. I'm so glad that we had this time to be together, and we are certainly the richer for the experience.
Well, sounds great, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about my work and talk about myself, and looking forward to seeing you in cyberspace.
Great. Be well.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, wonderful show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Wouldn't this be a great world if insecurity and desperation made us more attractive?
It sure would, and you'd be a rock star. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is So Hard for Men. I know what you're thinking. With so many herbal supplements on the market that boast fast-acting results, it's hard to know which erection-enhancing formula to choose, or if one shouldn't just avoid them altogether. I always tell my clients to beware of bogus claims and dangerously adulterated products that abound in the marketplace. So Hard for Men is different. It's made of 100% herbal extracts. it's as effective as any medically prescribed drugs I've tested, but it's much kinder to my system. There were no headaches, unsightly flushes, upset stomach, rise in blood pressure, or altered vision. In my years-long search for the holy grail of herbal erection enhancers, I have found only one product that consistently delivers on the promises it makes, without any of the nasty side effects. So Hard for Men improves genital blood circulation, which assists in achieving and sustaining a strong erection. As you know, every human body is unique. Each of us metabolizes what we consume in a slightly different way, so keep that in mind when you use So Hard. And just so we're clear, So Hard is not miraculous. It will not override an unhealthy lifestyle, but it can positively affect our sexual response cycle, making us more easily aroused as well as more energetic lovers.
Jesus, we have 3 minutes! Why do you do this to me?
Don't worry, we'll be finished in time. Look for the So Hard banner on DrDickSexAdvice.com. One final thing, I want to take a moment and invite you to check out my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans, now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, herbal products, lube, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.